May 25th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 60. To the chief musician, set to Lily of the Testimony, a Mikdam of David, for teaching. When he fought against Mesopotamia and Syria of Zobah, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. To learn what this psalm is about, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 8. After this, it came to pass that David attacked the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Metheg and Ammah from the hand of Philistines. Then he defeated Moab, forcing them down to the ground. He measured them off with a line. With two lines, he measured off those to be put to death, and with one full line, those to be kept alive, so that Moabites became David's servants and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, and he went to recover his territory at the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, and 20,000 foot soldiers, and David hamstrung all the chariot horses, except that he spared enough of them for 100 chariots. When the Syrians of Damascus came up to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 22,000 of Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went, and David took the shields of gold that had belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. To understand this psalm, you have to understand the background. David conquered all the surrounding nations like Philistines. David was the king of Israel in the Old Testament era, which was the foreshadow of the kingship of Jesus over people of Israel and for the Gentiles. And the verse 15 says, so David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. And this is what Jesus does to his people. And when he was killed, his charge was the King of Jews. And this was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek, and Latin is also an important language, since Roman Catholic's Bible, used for 1,000 years or so, was written in Latin. So it was prophetic that Jesus' charge was written in those three languages. But people of Israel killed their God, and now the king who is ruling his church is Jesus. Some people might only care about the people in the church as an institution, but spiritual king over the church is Jesus Christ. And the cross will appear again in the end time, as the book of Revelation calls it, Sodom and Egypt, which I think is talking about the corrupt church in the modern time. Crucifixion happened in 2,000 years ago, but I believe the same thing will happen again in the end time. And his church will again crucify Jesus Christ without knowing that he is the real king. At the same time, those who followed Jesus to the end were greatly blessed, like Peter, John, and James. And we will also be blessed if we follow Jesus till the end. And David was a just king, bringing justice to all his people. Jesus brings justice to his church in the New Testament era, since he is a just king. People who don't have the spiritual eyes might not see Jesus' kingship over the church, but he is a just God. And he will bring blessings to those who bless others, and he will bring appropriate justice to those who sin, even to the secret sin, because he knows it all. And David conquered Edomite. And you know, Edom is descendants of Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. In the Christian term, this means that we are selling off our spiritual birthright, spiritual inheritance, in exchange for temporary pleasure of the world. And those who make that such a choice will see a severe consequence. In other words, we have people like president who rules the nation. We don't have a president in Japan, but in Korea, they have a president, a female president. And I remember her father was also the president, too. And as you know, they recently had a big ship accident, and many people died. And it was reported that the captain of the ship was very irresponsible. He was one of the first one who escaped the ship after the accident. And the president of the nation was so mad that she was trying to bring the captain a murder charge. And there was also some large organization that was set up to rescue for any sea-related emergency like this accident, but none of that actually functioned properly, and no one was rescued. So the president decided to eliminate the institution and fire everyone. And that's called ruling. And the spiritual ruling is the same thing. It's the same in the sense that if you're doing the right thing, seeking the Lord, you may find yourself receiving many favors. But as thousands of Edomites were killed by David, if we do something against God's heart, your walk might get really difficult. And David brought justice to all, and Jesus is doing the same to his people. And I am not saying this theoretically, but I am saying this as a fact. And I, as a pastor, I'm also subject to his judgment, too. And I was reprimanded by the Lord many times, so I know it as a fact. And I think you also have experienced God's chastising. But this is only natural. Jesus is not doing this to be mean to us, but he wants to teach us and to bless us. So when something strange happens in our lives, instead of blaming others, it is better to ask the Lord, and that's when you start receiving His teachings and blessings. So now we are finally starting Psalm 60. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. This psalm is written with a viewpoint of people, not of the king. You know, Edom and Moab was the tribe. They were the tribes that were far from Lord's heart. Israel, the city of Jerusalem, is the center. They say it's located in the center of the world. But Moab and Edom, a little off the center. Those tribes who were off the center, meaning that they were off of God's path. Same thing with our Christian walk. If we are off from God's path and God's heart, some troubles might happen to you, like what happened to those tribes. So in that sense, Jesus is still God of justice. Yes, God is love, but God's justice and chastising of a loving father will also come. This we will have to remember. Verse 2, you have made the earth tremble. You have broken it. Heal its breaches. For it is shaking. This can also mean shaking the foundation of the church. When you are not in the center of God's will, there are lots of shaking. You have seen the church split and the pastors fighting against the committee type of conflict within the church. Moab means seed of a father. So when you live and follow the evil father, that's what happens to the church. Verse 3. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. In King James Version, it says the wine of astonishment. And as you know, wine implies spirit. So when you are not in the right standing with the Lord, you will have to drink the wine of confusion or astonishment. In that sense, God is not respecter of a person. He blesses those who bless him and curses those who curse him. Good example of wine of confusion is the Catholics. They disregard the word of the Lord and they listen to the Pope instead, even though the Pope would say there is no hell and he supports the evolution theory. And I know a lot of Catholics, and many are deceived by the wrong spirit and believing the wrong thing. And I got a call from a lady the other day, and she said she was going to curse someone in her prayer. And I told her that it was not the right thing to do. But she said there was some Bible passage that supports that. I mean, this is a clear indication that she was influenced by the wrong spirit. This is the result of her walk, spiritual walk. And I'm not saying that all the Catholics are bad, but we should not blindly trust anyone and everyone just because they call themselves Christians. Same thing with the Protestants. On Saturday, we read a section in the book of Revelation that only the overcomer will obtain the eternal life. I did not realize that until we studied that passage. In the book of Revelation, it says, "We who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." And it also says, "The second death is the lake of fire." So it seems to me that our bar was raised higher, and if we cannot be the overcomer, we are going to the lake of fire. And every time I study the Bible, I always find something new, and it is truly eye-opening. So if your bar is so low and then thinking that it is okay to go to church only once a year or tithe when you have money or believing the wrong doctrine like being lifted up before the tribulation, you are following the wrong spirit. And I was like that too. When I was a lukewarm Christian, I did not know that I was deceived. But when I decided to follow Jesus all the way, I started seeing the truth. So God is truly just and merciful for those who seek Him. Verse 4. You have given a banner to those who fear Him, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, a banner is to show to the people where you are. So if there's a tour group, a tour guide might be holding a banner so that people would know who to follow. So here it says that if you fear God, God will give us a banner so that people will see in the spirit realm that we are people of God, and certain calamity will avoid us. Something like this happened many times in the Bible. One example is in Ezekiel 9. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel, had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen. He had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city and through the midst of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sign and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill, and do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. This passage shows that God said to spare people's life when they had the mark on their forehead, but kill the rest. That's God's judgment. Banner is like the mark on our forehead. And one of the important things we must do is to fear God. Though we don't see such banner, if the Bible says so, it must be true that God distinguishes people. And I believe the most important thing here is for us to have the fear of God, to have true fear of God, and know the word of the Lord as it is written in all volumes. Because without the fear of God, you will not be able to understand the Bible, especially about the description of the end time. Some Christians who do not have such fear of the Lord interpreted the Bible in any way they want and say that the judgment is only for the Jewish people or for the unbelievers. But they don't realize that the true judgment comes to Christians too. And here at our church, we always try to have the fear of the Lord and diligently sought God. That's why we are now receiving these revelations, and I believe those revelations are truly from God. And that's why we hold seminars and publish newsletters based on those messages received by revelations. Though I don't want to sound like I'm being prideful, God must be pleasing. He must be pleased with us since we are receiving those messages when no one else is receiving. And many of the promises written in the Bible are in the realm of invisible. For example, God is giving us banner to distinguish us from others. So it's not like we actually receive a real banner falling from the sky, but since it is written, we have to understand that it is real. That you beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth, and Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia, shout in triumph because of me. Ephraim is God's helmet, which sounds awesome, and Judah is God's lawgiver. But Moab is God's washpot to wash his feet. So each Christian has his own place in God or outside of God, depending on one's relationship with him. Blessing from God is never equal. It all depends on how we walk with him. So if you walk like Edom, God would throw his shoe at you. But all you have to do is correct the walk. There are blessed Christians and there are miserable Christians. But if you look at the miserable ones, oftentimes you see that it is because of his walk. But it is not like he cannot escape from the rut. If he repents and corrects what needs to be corrected, I believe he can move into God's blessings too. Doesn't have to be Edom for eternity. Edom can start walking like Judah. Verse 9. Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. So if you live like Edom, you will not have victory in your life. Just because you're a Christian, it does not mean you have victory all the time. If you walk like Edom, you will have defeat in your life. Verse 12. Through God, we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Yes, we Christians do have the power to tread down our enemies, but it is only when we are walking rightly in God. If we defile the Holy Spirit, or if we are doing this for self-gain, you will not have that kind of power. And in all of our walk with God, there is no coincidence, both good and bad, because Jesus is ruling over it. All are happening because God is allowing it to happen. And Jesus said, not one sparrow will fall to the ground outside of our God's Father's care. So we have to keep seeking His heart and keeping fearing God in our walk.